From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
You know, the more we do these shows, the more you realize, man, there's always something going on. And we like to try to keep you informed, and we hope you'll stay with us throughout the week. Coming up later in the week, we'll hear from a few organizations you may or may not have heard of. But on Friday, I know we'll spend a little bit of time getting an update from the Heritage Foundation. Genevieve Wood back on with us on Friday, and then a Friday financial update with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. You can find all the archived programs on the web at abqconnect.online. A couple of things, we a little house cleaning here before we jump in and introduce you to today's guest, our first guest. Ladies, Sheology is getting ready for their next study. And, you know, Sheology's studies happen, they've been on the west side, but in the past, the last couple have been at the main campus at Calvary Church. But these studies are absolutely designed for the ladies of Albuquerque. So, you know, you may be at a church where maybe there's not a study specifically for the ladies. Well, you're invited here. You're welcome to Sheology. A Place at His Table will be the study starting next Tuesday night, September 5th. It'll run Tuesday nights through October 10th. Each night, the teaching and worship gets underway at 6:30, but come out as early as 5:30. There's DIY demos and tutorials, refreshments, and more. And here's what they're going to be doing. Considering meals that Jesus shared with others. Think of how important and how often breaking bread with someone, really, it's impactful. We'll visit, the ladies will. I say we. I'm not going. They're going to be looking at travelers on the road to Emmaus. Again, these are all meals that Jesus shared with others. Spiritually dehydrated woman at the well, self-satisfied religious men, outcast tax collectors, humble peasants. And then through each encounter, Jesus changed those he was with, and he can change all of us as we give and receive hospitality as well. Ladies, you want to find out more, go to sheology.com. And I know typically there's childcare, but that seems to fill up. So if you're in need of that, you may want to, it's better sooner than later. Go to sheology.com to get all the details about the next study starting next Tuesday night, A Place at His Table. All right, there we go. Now let's introduce Jody. She's here from a New Mexico Family Action Movement. And Jody, no stranger now to ABQ Connect. This is at least our second time.
That's right.
Spending some time talking about local issues and things. And we'll get to those things that make us sigh. Uh-huh. Not in a good way. We'll get to that. But actually, let's try to sandwich today. You know, there's plenty of bad news we can get to. But there's plenty of good news to share, too. Let's start there with some of the things that New Mexico Family Action Movement is doing outside of the work with the referendum project and other things. You're stirring the pot. You're getting things going.
Yes. Yes, we are.
What's in the works?
So we are very excited to announce that New Mexico FAM is now offering biblical citizenship classes for our churches across the state. Those are classes that we put on that will come to you, and we will put on a biblical citizenship class that focuses on helping the people of your church understand what it is to, first of all, unleash biblical citizenship. Uh-huh. What even is biblical citizenship? And how can we as believers make sure that we are living out our citizenship in our country and in our state in a way that honors our biblical values.
Okay. And then I'm sure primarily reminding us that we are citizens of the kingdom.
Yes.
And our place in our temporary home is aliens here on this planet.
Yes, absolutely. And so how do we live, right? How do we live out our faith and our values, mm-hmm. especially in a climate where it's not very popular? So our biblical citizenship classes are really an opportunity to kind of reset and help the church be reminded of the responsibilities that God has given us as we live out our values here on this earth.
I have to imagine, for some, that's going to be a little challenging, getting kind of outside their comfort zone, maybe.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But I have to imagine, too, after going through the content, I'm sure you and the organization has provided, that there's going to be a lot of,
We see that a lot. It's like this kind of aha moment. The light comes on where it's like, yeah, I do agree with that. So it's really good. You know, we need to be reminded of that. And we need to see what we can do to unleash our biblical citizenship in New Mexico.
Okay. Anything else in the works?
Yes. We also are offering what we call Believer's Briefs. And that is an opportunity where we also will come to you, we'll come to your church group, we'll come to your community event. And what we do is we give a brief. We help inform and educate voters what's going on in New Mexico, what is happening right now, especially with all that has been going on in the past several months. There's always things changing. There's always things developing. And so we are offering Believer's Briefs where we will come and we will share with you the latest of what is happening, but then we'll also make it relevant to you. How can you get involved? What can you do in your area? And what do we need to continue to do prayerfully and financially, voting wise, you know, running for candidate office, whatever it might be, we're going to share that with you in the relevance of what's happening in our state.
Okay. And for those listening that are thinking about, you know, their homeschool group, or maybe they're part of a private school, a Christian school, or public school, is it a nonpartisan presentation?
Yes.
It's just clearly educational.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, as you're saying that, I was just thinking, what about that Christian teacher? I wonder how well that would go over, you know, to bring truth to the classroom. Imagine that.
Absolutely.
sorry. I just went there. But
we go there a lot.
Okay. So if someone now is, are you ready for that?
Yes.
If someone called today,
yes,
you could set it up. Okay. So what's the best way for someone to get their Bible briefs?
Yes, their Believer Briefs.
Believer Briefs. Okay.
Yes.
What's the best way to, and I heard you say NM Fam. Can I go there?
Yes, please do.
That's cool. I feel like I'm part of the group.
Right, you're a part of the fam.
I got the jargon down. NM Fam is available to small groups, whether it's a youth group or a Bible study or a homeschool group or a private school, a Christian private school, or maybe you're a teacher that is interested in having them come out to talk about some of these things. Can you kind of get with, you know, if say a public school teacher they just want to, you know, can you share with me can we go over the content in detail? So they can see that's fact.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody can give us a call. You can email us at contact@nmfam.org and just let us know that you're interested in that. And we'll come and we're going to try to give you as much support as we can as far as giving you the information that you need to know of what's happening, what's going on, how schools, as you've been talking about, how schools are affected right now, what parents need to know, all of that.
Yeah.
We're there to give you all the information because we believe people are better able to make decisions when they have all of the information.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sitting here, as you mentioned, schools and raising kids and the things that are, you know, we're going to cover some of that here. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't me. At a young age, my wife and I, we decided to homeschool. Mm-hmm. And then our kids, they eventually went to public school and high school. That's not to say, though, that parents who have their kids in public school can't, you know, successfully bring their kids up in that education as they continue. And we're going to talk more about that involvement.
Yes.
Today. And actually, we're going to talk. Let's move right in. That's a good segue. Let's move into I'm not sure I'd heard about the parental notification form that was developed by the New Mexico House Caucus. But when I read about it, when you sent, really not sure if I had heard about it. When I read about it, I'm like, Good.
Yes.
Okay. These laws are being passed, but guess what?
That's right. Guess what? We're not done.
Yeah. So I'll let you better explain.
Okay. So the Republican House Caucus worked together with some great legal teams to put together a parental notification form. Now, this form is an opportunity for parents to have their voice heard in their child's school. Uh-huh. This form gives the parents the ability to check off every box that they feel is important to them. And the form states that the parent is requiring the school to notify the parent before their child basically is exposed to any of these checkbox items.
Right, discussion points.
Yes, discussion, whether it's in curriculum, it's in the school library, it's in the school health office, whatever it might be, you have the opportunity to check all of the boxes of what is important to you. And then sign that and submit it to your child's school. This was created by some fantastic legal teams who all came together and made this form to be enforceable in a court of law. So right now, one thing that parents need to know, if you have tried to submit this form, you probably have gotten a letter back from your school. You maybe even saw a letter come out from the PED or the Department of Health earlier this year.
PED.
The Public Education Department.
Okay.
And they're trying to say that this form is not legal, that it is not enforceable. However, our legal teams assure us and parents that this form truly is enforceable in a court of law. So if this school that your child goes to disregards your requirement to be notified, you have grounds to be able to build a case.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, basically the answer can be, yes, it is legal. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you if you want to find out how legal it is.
Right. That's right. And so what we're telling parents is that this form is a fantastic tool.
Yeah.
Use it. But do not think that this form is the end all be all.
Right.
Your school will probably want to ignore this form.
Right.
But what you need to do is have conversations with your kids to still be checking in. Has your child been exposed to one of those things that you said no to?
Yeah.
One of those things that you said, I require to be notified. Was your child exposed and you were not notified? We now have a cause of action.
Okay. And, you know, I think many of our listeners are, hopefully they're informed. If they're listening here, we're trying to do that. But a couple of weeks ago, one of the updates we did with the Heritage Foundation, we included some audio from parents elsewhere in the country that were reading in school board meetings content from the school library. Mm. I'm guessing you probably saw Jody.
Yes.
And they were reading the content, and the people heading up the meeting were saying, whoa, hold on. There's kids here. This is online. There's kids listening.
Uh-huh.
And yeah,
exactly.
Are we not making our point? This is in your library,
right?
There's kids there. And, you know, essentially what some of these school boards seem to be communicating is, well, if the kids want to come in and sit down and read this content, that's absolutely fine. But it's not okay to read this content in an open meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids that we don't let drive or, you know, get tattoos or smoke or drink or, you know, what have you. But anyway, and that's just one of the issues you talk, you know, with a lot of what's happened with the referendum and these laws that have passed and are enacted.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way for parents to say, yeah, I get what you did up there in the roundhouse. But guess what?
Right.
It's my kid. And you know, I forget where it was. And it wasn't in New Mexico, but it was a teacher or school board member, one or the other, elsewhere, that was talking about, you know, this battle between the parents and the school and the school boards and the teachers and you know, not all teachers. There's a lot of great teachers. Let me slow down. There's a lot of great people on school boards.
Absolutely.
But this person said, you know, something to the effect, but while they're here, they're ours.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
But, you know, the truth is, Jody, there's parents who hear that and maybe not cheerfully, but they accept that. Mm-hmm. They receive mm-hmm. that. Oh, if I'm going to send my kids to public school, well, you know, then I've got to submit to whatever it is they're doing with my kids.
Mm. And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because as parents, it is our responsibility, especially when we look at our children being a gift from the Lord. They are ours to steward. They are yeah. ours to raise and nurture in the admonition of the Lord. And so it is not okay to consider at any point that, yeah, your responsibility as a parent ends when they go to school and picks up again when they come home from school. That is not right. okay.
And as a Christian and a Bible believer, I'm going to amen that. But the truth is, if someone's listening who maybe isn't a believer, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they wouldn't go and apply maybe those beliefs that we have in explaining our rights and raising our kids and our responsibility, they do have the right to tell these people who would make assumptions about what they can and can't do with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have a, you do. And I think, as I mentioned, some people will hear the message from the school boards or the schools or the teachers or not all the teachers, not all schools, but you know, and I'm not saying this in a mean, bad way. It's just ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not knowing what your rights are.
That's right.
And that's part of really what NMFAM has been able to do for families in New Mexico.
Yes, absolutely. We are seeing so many families, I guess you could say, kind of waking up, because parents are beginning to see that there are so many things happening in our schools that they had no idea was happening before, and come to find out they're not okay with the things that are happening.
Right.
And so really being able to educate New Mexico families on how they can stand up, where they can speak, what can they do as citizens of New Mexico and of our great country. How can they use their rights instead of just being, you know, standing there and saying, you have a right? How do you actually stand up and use that right? How do you practice that right? And that's what we're here to do, is to make a clear path, a clear opportunity for parents to stand up for their rights.
Jody Hendricks is here from the New Mexico Family Action Movement, NMFAM. We're going to continue our discussion when we come back right after the break on ABQ Connect. In the midst of a conversation with Jody Hendricks from the New Mexico Family Action Movement, NMFAM, and we the next topic to jump into today, the Roundhouse in the last legislation passed some laws that would change what school-based health clinics. Were there school-based health clinics already that are just now expanding what they're able to do?
Yes, there were some that were kind of available sparsely, but now they are statewide.
Okay. There's new ones where there were none, and the ones where there have more things they can do that probably you want to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are we hearing about these school-based health clinics and the questionnaires?
Mm. So there's a lot of issues with our school-based health clinics, because of course they're giving referrals to abortion services. They're giving referrals to transgender transitioning treatments. Based on Senate Bill 13, a worker from a school-based health clinic can even transport a child to receive these services. So the school-based health clinic overall...
I mean, you need a permission slip to go on a field trip.
Right. Yeah. You need permission to take a Tylenol. They call me every single time my child needs a Tylenol, yet they will send my child down this path. They will even transport my child if they wanted to, because they're covered by Senate Bill 13. They're protected. And again, I'm, as the parent, left out of the loop completely. I'm never notified. There's no requirement to notify me.
Covered how by Senate Bill 13? I mean, this is something we need to deal with anyway,
mm-hmm.
but transporting a child
mm-hmm.
And without a permission slip,
mm-hmm.
If there's a car accident,
right,
they're covered.
So Senate Bill 13 protects, of course, any anyone providing the treatments outlined in House Bill 7, which is any type of abortion or transgender treatments, procedures. And so Senate Bill 13 protects those providing those treatments, anyone receiving those treatments, and it also protects anyone who would seek those treatments on behalf of another person.
But a car accident isn't a treatment.
Right.
And I'm you know, I'm nitpicking, but here's a place where it's, you know, well, how do you put my kid in a car? I mean, you know, first of all, hands off my kid.
Right.
Okay. Second of all, you put my kid in a car and you, and I just can't, you know, I hope a lawyer's listening. It's like, no, Steve, calm down. That is a totally different thing. And they are putting themselves at risk for a lawsuit.
They're taking on that personal liability, because at that point it wouldn't be the school-based health clinic that is covered by their insurance. It's an individual who's making the choice. But because of Senate Bill 13, that individual can make that choice to transport that child without the parent knowing.
Right.
And take that child to receive these services. So the school-based health clinics are just one more step further down the road of shutting the parents out and giving these things to our kids.
And then, and is that if the kids go to the school-based health clinic, is that HIPAA covered? The parents, like, even if the parents go ask, they're like, sorry, I can't share that with you.
Right. They will not share the information. Unless the child specifically gives them permission to share the information.
Now I want to read my post. I was talking about a post I made. I saw a meme on social media, and I thought, interesting, I'm posting that. Okay, here's how it reads. It didn't start with gas chambers. It started with one party controlling the media, one party controlling the message, one party deciding what is truth, one party censoring speech and silencing opposition, one party dividing citizens into us and them, and calling on their supporters to harass them. It started when good people turned a blind eye and let it happen. And this is what we're trying to avoid.
Yes, yes.
Educating the public, educating parents, and New Mexico Family Action Movement is part of doing that. I interrupted. Were we done with questionnaires, or do we have more on that?
So the school-based health clinic, there are questionnaires that parents really need to know that these are in the clinics and that their child could be exposed to them. These questionnaires that they use to assess the kids whenever they come into the clinic are wildly inappropriate.
So if you go in as a parent and say, I understand there's a questionnaire for the students that would use these health clinics. May I please have a copy of that questionnaire?
Good luck. Good luck getting someone to give you one. I don't know that you would find a friendly acceptance to that.
Why?
Because it's wildly inappropriate. It is pushing an agenda, and they don't want the parent involved, and they know it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, these questionnaires are ridiculous.
I don't have any of my kids. My kids are grown.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. It is a very difficult climate to be raising kids in New Mexico right now.
Yeah. Okay, so HB 207.
Yes. HB 207 was the expansion of the Human Rights Act. And so what it did in this last legislative session is it expanded the Human Rights Act to involve identifiers that cannot be discriminated against, to include gender identity and sexual orientation. One of the ways that it did that is making sure that any transgender individual has access to whatever bathroom they decide they identify with. But this is happening now at our schools. So we have transgender students who are allowed to use whatever bathroom they would like to use. But unfortunately, what we've seen already, we've seen people affected by this. It's heartbreaking stories.
It is.
Where now that just makes it so much easier for predators to find themselves in a place wouldn't belong.
Not that I was a predator, but in high school, you know, I was a dumb kid. I mean, just how things have changed.
Yes.
What would happen back in the day if I said, you know what? I'm going to the girls' locker room.
Right. And when they
came at me, and I just said, oh, I'm a girl.
Right.
You know, now there's a whole nother discussion about, what people in their mind believe they are, mm-hmm. and what people who are nefarious are mm-hmm. using these
right.
To their advantage, which exactly. is what you're talking about.
Yes.
And we're aware of stories in the news where girls, I don't know about guys, but girls were attacked.
Yes.
By what was a naturally born male.
Yes.
In their locker room or bathroom, yes. I think it was.
Yes.
So this is an issue.
It is.
And it's a reason why, if you haven't been part of the referendum project and you want to find out, is the referendum all the information on your site as well?
Yes. If you go to our website, then you'll see a referendum project page where you can get all of the information of the referendum project.
Okay. And if you go to the top of the page at nmfam.org, mm-hmm. It's real easy, referendum project. We're not going to go into that today because we've covered it in the information's there. So go read up on it. And if you have questions, contact Jody and the team at NMFAM. Okay. But that being said, the referendum project is still in full swing. We just got a couple minutes, so I want to get through what we have left. And people, we're still seeing signatures being collected.
Yes.
And the truth is, I mean, the signatures we need by the deadline that's passed was a much higher number than actually what we need.
That's right.
For a year.
Yes, that's right. So we are absolutely confident that we're going to have all of the signatures that we need long before our deadline next summer. But we do need people to realize that this is still very important. It's still very active. And we need people to sign the petitions. And we need you to encourage your family members, your friends, people in your community to sign the petitions to protect our families.
Yeah, if you find yourself doing, been there, done that, done, did it. Okay, but what Jody is saying is, what about your sphere of influence? What about your social media? Are you reminding people, I need to think about that. Have I done that? I need to go back and look and see if I've done that.
Yeah.
Share it on social media. Inform people. Give them the information so we can make this a better state. You know what? How about this? We keep talking about making, and I know, baby steps, but let's make it a best state.
Yes.
You know, I'm so tired of not.
Yes.
And we're not the best state right now. In some ways we are. It's a beautiful place to live visually.
Yes. I agree with that.
Okay. And like you said earlier, I mean, the good news is New Mexicans are beginning to wake up. And not just one party or the other.
Correct.
We're talking about this a little bit off the air. You know, traditionally, there's people that are part of both parties that are seeing what's happening, saying, whoa, 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 wait.
Right.
Now that's too far. Even if, you know, you lean more left,
mm-hmm.
Than right. And it's, the truth is, it's the right that's really, got the referendum project going and what have you. Interesting, that, we're starting to see, this is a place where you would think, I think we're seeing it more with the constituents than mm-hmm. we are with the legislators.
Yes.
But you would think this would be one of those things that could reach across the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for, get on your knees, Christian, and pray for that.
Yes.
We're out of time, but I do want to just at least throw out to you, is there anything we haven't said that really we should say before we finish, put a bow on this?
Well, just that we continue to appreciate your support, your prayer, because we are fighting a battle that is against spiritual forces. And so we need all the prayer that we can get. And of course, financial support is always something that we are thankful for so that we can continue to help New Mexico families, educate them, provide resources for them, and continue to move our state towards that vision of a state that honors God.
And NMFAM is a nonprofit. You'll find the details at nmfam.org. That's nmfam.org. And at the top of the page, several things. You can read up on what they're all about, updates, a donation opportunity, whether it's a one-time gift or recurring giving, and all the information you need about the referendum project as well. Jody Hendricks, I said it last time, we need to have you back in, and I probably waited too long before inviting you back, but let's make it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Hey, Folds of Honor is doing a great work. providing scholarships to spouses and family, you know, the kids of service members and now first responders who've been lost or injured while in the line of duty. They have their Patriot Dinner on the way. We're going to let you know about that and how you can help with the scholarships for these heroes and the families coming up next on ABQ Connect.